Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you into the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, joined alongside by a very happy Matt Franchise. Matt Franciscovich, what's going on, man?
Merry Christmas, James.
Ew.
It's the holiday season.
It is.
We're
about to turn the page on.
Let's have some cheer, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought you were about to say, let's have some cheese, so that's why.
No. That would be what Gelhar says.
Alex Gelhar, what's going on, man?
Franchise,
Don't look at me weird.
I wasn't sure if you were texting me yesterday in regards to our fantasy matchup or the Steelers v. Packers game
on
primetime.
Oh, Steelers v. Packers.
But after the game, Franchise sent me, I was still at work, and he sent me a text that said, you know, good match, pal, or whatever, and he had to... the handshake emoji, but from afar, out of the corner of my eye, it looked like it was the cheese emoji. So he just like trolled me after the game with the cheese emoji, because they always troll me about cheese. And it's like, good matchup, pal. Cheese.
Matchup. And then I said, of course you're thinking about cheese, you cheese fiend.
I like it. I like it a lot. We got West Virginia's finest. We have Matt Harmon in the building. What's going on?
Well, James, I've been very fascinated this entire time we've been in the studio by this portal here to another dimension.
Whoa! Yeah. I just noticed that for the first time.
Yeah, I tweeted a photo out of it.
That's a trip.
The screen here in the podcast studio
is a like shot of us.
It's an infinity.
And if you notice, like, when I stick my hand up, it's a little delayed, so it looks like I'm just tossing. It's quite, like, we've reached a strange time here in the NFL season, a strange chapter where we might potentially be slipping into another dimension that just takes us back to the reality that we are always in, which
sounds
is
right.
Tom Brady wins MVP, Patriots win the Super Bowl, and we all just go on and on.
Damn it.
On.
Oh, God.
Nothing changes.
Jeez.
We've got a big time show in front of us here today. We're going to be breaking down that Sunday night matchup. Talk about some biggest disappointments moving forward. And we'll talk about Fournette's injured ankle. He clearly did not look the same. Does he have a bounce back in him? We'll talk about wide receiver. We'll talk about those Denver wide receivers, Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders combining for 30 total yards. And what about Evan Ingram? Are we done with Evan Ingram? Plus, we'll get to most damn games.
Most
nice.
Well played.
Not every damn game, as was highlighted to me on Twitter many times here. But no, we will get to most damn games. We'll close out your show with Daily Dash, but we start your show as we always do with your top fantasy headlines.
Breaking news.
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 The whistles go woo.
Woo.
We shall start in Kansas City. you know, I tweeted this out yesterday, man. After week four, Alex Smith, Dak Prescott, Kareem Hunt, you could not get away from those guys. They were absolute fantasy studs. They were darlings. They were beasts in the game. After week 12, I don't know if you can start any of those three gentlemen. It's a crazy topsy-turvy world. I mean, and it's not because of injury. It's not because of anything other than these guys just aren't producing, man. And what a crazy fall from grace it has been for those three gentlemen. But I think this is the major question coming out of week 12. What the hell do you do with Kareem Hunt? Because I think coming into week 12, you could have said any number of things. You know, oh, hey, you know, Andy Reid's just, you know, not going to give him the ball. Maybe it wasn't a plus matchup, whatever it might have been. Against Buffalo, no, forget it. There's nothing that you can tell yourself where you said, yes, Kareem Hunt is going to have this bad of a game. And yet, there he was. I don't know what you do with Kareem Hunt going into week 13.
Yeah, I came out of week 12 with two major themes about fantasy football in general on my mind, and both of them actually relate to Kareem Hunt. One is, I no longer care how good a running back is. Like, I am running back talent agnostic at this point. It is all completely situational dependent to me anymore. And that's like, you can think Kareem Hunt is as good as you want, and after the first 4 weeks, it looked great. But who cares if the Kansas City offense sucks? And the Kansas City offense sucks. Like, they've been figured out.
That's so
bad.
They
can't move the ball.
Yeah.
They can't run the ball. They can't throw the ball. So I don't care who the running back is anymore. Like, it's basically just, like, Bengals running back A, Chiefs running back A, Chiefs running back B. I don't care about who's good anymore. And the second theme there is that, like you're saying, fantasy is so much, like, in the NFL in general, it's just like these small mini chapters, like mini series in, like, baked into one big story. Like, there was the section of the story or the section of the season where Kareem Hunt was a stud. Now it's the section of the season where he's a complete liability. And it's about, like, trying to find these inflection points.
Hey!
And where we can
drink.
Like where we can adjust. And like we were clearly at that with Kareem Hunt like 2 weeks ago.
But we didn't want to buy it though.
And yeah, you're right. And we all of us did not want to buy in. And we've not benefited ourselves because of it.
I've got Kareem Hunt in a bunch of different spots, and I have no intention of playing him in week 13.
Yeah.
None. Can somebody talk me off the ledge here? I mean, not that I'm not rage dropping him, which is what I'm saying on Twitter too, right? But it's like, you can't play this guy. I can't figure it out. I don't know, for the life of me. Anyways, Matt Franchise, what are your thoughts on Kareem Hunt here?
He's killing your roster if you're starting him every week, man. He had 73 yards, I think, last week, which is fine. But 11 carries for 17 yards, it's 1.5 yards per carry.
That was bad.
It's just
against the Buffalo defense that had been absolutely shredded on the ground by running backs.
Right. And last week it was against the Giants, who've been bad against the run. The week before that it was against Dallas, who haven't been able to stop the run. And he's getting trapped in this bad offense. Like he's becoming a product of the unproductive Chiefs offense, and there's just nothing you can do about it.
There's absolutely no commitment to the run game either. That's what is so frustrating to me watching the Kansas City Chiefs play. There's no commitment to the run.
And I think even Andy Reid said himself, like, oh, I blame myself for not giving Kareem Hunt more carries like the week prior. And then he only gets 11 carries against Buffalo.
What's happening? What are you going to do, though? Like, the run game's not working.
But 11 carries over the course of an entire ball game, it just doesn't make sense, especially in a competitive game like we saw against Buffalo. It's not like they were getting blown out.
But they didn't really possess the ball hardly at all either. I mean, you can look at like the final like 11 carries, but God, that's just not enough. But you also look at the results and weren't doing anything with it. So I don't know, man. I don't know what you can expect. Like, I don't think this is an Andy Reid problem. I think this is just like an systematic failure on all fronts problem.
Yeah.
I think it's a Kareem Hunt problem too. Like he's not as good as we thought. And that's fine.
He didn't have a single touch in the second quarter. He only had two touches in the fourth quarter. He only had one catch all day.
Not good.
No, it's like what are you doing?
Well, here's my counterpoint. I agree with everything that's been said. He sucks. Who are you going to play instead of him? Even this was his bottom out, but in the two games prior he was still a top 30 back in standard. The week before that he was a top 10 back. Like, running back is bad. Like, I'm like a legitimate question on your rosters. Who are you going to start over him? Are you going to start Bilal Powell?
Jamal Williams, bro?
Jamal Williams is fine, but like running back is a disaster.
Yeah, it is.
I'm playing Jerick McKinnon. I'm playing Marshawn Lynch. I am playing
Deion Lewis.
So yeah,
I'm playing Austin Eckler.
If you have the depth, that's fine. But some people might not.
I mean, but you're going to have some combination of Austin Eckler, Jerick McKinnon, Marshawn Lynch. I mean, that's what I'm saying. At this point in the season when there are no bye weeks, I'm totally fine not playing Kareem Hunt because you got to figure there's got to be somebody else on the roster that's
– P-Ryan.
I figure there's got to be somebody else. No? I don't know.
I'm just saying,
it's a rough situation.
Like it's rough, but like there aren't many like backs we can bank on aside from like the New Orleans backs and Todd Gurley and Lev Bell. Like, he is still the featured back on his team, and he's still going to get touches. It's going to probably be very frustrating to start him, but at least like in the weeks prior, he wasn't completely bottoming out. This was just the worst for fantasy, and it hurts that it came in the narrative-driven game. Like, wow, Buffalo's been getting ripped up. Time for Kareem Hunt to bounce back.
Exactly, it was so bad.
But yeah, don't drop him or anything.
Yeah, you can't drop him. Also, just one last note on
please.
This. Like, it seems that like I remember a time these mini little stories within the season. I remember a time like 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, even that we were scoffing, like actively. Almost arrogantly scoffing at people that are like, what do you mean are you concerned about Kareem Hunt? He's still giving you
And here
wrong,
we are.
Wrong.
here we
wrong, wrong, wrong. Like everybody that tweeted us that, you were right to be concerned. And typical like fantasy analyst arrogance was wrong.
Oh, got to write it out. It'll be fine. He's going to get back on track. It's happening. Major storyline happening in the Bay Area. C.J. Beathard got hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo came in garbage time. He threw a garbage time touchdown as well. Beathard getting an MRI today. Said it could just be a knee bruise and some hip pain. Doesn't seem too serious. At least C.J. Beathard and the team did not feel as if it was too serious. Kyle Shanahan said he has yet to decide whether or not Jimmy G will be his starter in Week 13. He's going to decide later in the week. All right, what did you guys see from Jimmy Garoppolo, even in limited time, even in limited, you know, it wasn't a high-pressure situation because it was mostly garbage time, but what did you guys see from Jimmy G?
He threw two passes. I really didn't see anything. Yeah. All right. We've seen him in action in the past, and I think he could have reasonable fantasy success in San Francisco, but it's tough to rate anything on two passes in garbage time.
He does get Houston in Week 14.
Yeah.
He looked as handsome as ever.
Yes, he did. That's the main takeaway.
That's the main takeaway.
Guys, I mean, I think he looked a lot more confident than Beathard's looked. Like, he just kind of came in and just stood there and, you know, I mean, it was very limited snaps, but he just – there was, like, no hesitation on his part. He like, knew the offense. He had it down. I don't know. Yeah. There's not much to take away.
I think the team obviously just needs, like, some new life breathed into it.
Breathed into it?
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
And I think the problem with Beathard is, like, yeah, he's definitely, like, been – he looks like a solid NFL like
backup,
you know, backup, maybe third string or whatever. But the offense, like, he's been just taking way too much punishment, and like that's good for him that he can withstand that. But like also at the same time, he is get off Tinder, pal.
I'm watching Jimmy Garoppolo highlights.
You're engaged.
And, can you use Tinder on a desktop?
Well, I mean, Harman would know.
Yeah, Harman would know.
Harman
yeah,
would know.
Fake news.
You can't.
Oh,
by
okay.
the way.
Oh, I see.
But you know, and like I also noted this yesterday in targets and touches, like. That offense, like, because Carlos Hyde has like an absurd amount of target volume since CJ Beathard took over, and like that's just no way to live. He has 8, 9, 11, 3, and 13 targets. Over
targets.
The last five games.
Yes,
not carries.
Targets.
He had 13 targets and I think 21 receiving yards yesterday.
Yeah, like that's no way to live as an offense. So hopefully, I think they ought to just go ahead and play Garoppolo.
Oh, that is amazing. By the way, this news item absolutely triggered our very own Alex Gilhar. Aaron Rodgers spotted pregame throwing on the field, 50-yard passes through the air. Good arm strength, I guess, was the reports from those on the field. The original projected return date was around Christmas. That's Week 16, a potential championship week for those of you in fantasy. I wish I could, my
eyes are in danger of rolling out of my head. And it was, as I said before the podcast, it was partly because, yes, it's my quarterback, but also just because, like, this is just further driving home the point of, like, why are people consistently trying to stash these injured players in the hope that they're going to return, you know, weeks down the line when there are much more high-value players to bank on your bench or usable players or flex players. Like, we did this with David Johnson. People were talking about this with Carson Palmer, Aaron Rodgers, everybody, Andrew Luck for, like, 8 weeks.
Right.
He was like the Joe Mixon. He was Joe Mixon, but he wasn't even on the field. Like, this is the week. He's going to come back, guys. He's going to practice. It's going to happen. Like, Rodgers is at best like 3 weeks away from coming back. There's no, absolutely zero reason why you would ever add him, and that's why I was partially triggered on this thing.
I thought he was going to straight go Ari Gold's cell phone throw right into my face.
Yeah, it was
wow.
It was pretty aggressive. yeah, well, but Gilhar's right though. Like, when was the last time like injury optimism worked out in the favor of the injured player?
Right, and like, then well, plus like, when they come back, they're going to be rusty. They haven't seen the field in a while. Like. Even the last time Rodgers came back from a broken collarbone, he played that one game against the Bears, and he threw, like, two interceptions, which, like, when's the last time you can remember Rodgers throwing two interceptions in a game?
He gets to play the Vikings in Week 16, too.
Hooray.
Oh, God.
Nope. Pass?
No, yeah, no thanks.
Okay, everyone's passing.
It's just, but it's in another important, like, in a thematic-seeming, you know, part of the season here, like, it's another theme of, like, just forget it with the, like, injury optimism in fantasy. Like, I'm done, like, drafting players or picking up players and be like, yeah, well, when they come back from injury, that's when it's, you know, because we never know when they come back. And, like, you're right. They
Except for
back.
Josh Gordon, you mean?
Yeah, I'm talking about injuries.
Oh.
Now, suspensions are different because they come back, like, obviously they're probably rusty, but, and I'm not trying to cape up for Josh Gordon. Don't paint me into a corner.
He's setting you up.
He is.
They get Packers in Week 14.
He's got him in Week 14.
I don't know. You know what? Crazier things have happened.
Greg Olsen re-injured his broken foot. The team says it's not too serious. It's something that we'll keep an eye on. If there's more news later on, then, of course, just follow us on Twitter, and I'm sure we'll chime in there. But
same exact situation that we're talking about with injuries. Some people, I'm sure, started Greg Olsen yesterday and paid the price.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Look, they said he was going to be limited in snap count, maybe play half the snaps, whatever. Re-injures his foot. Nobody knows how this is going to work out. It's always a risk.
Granted, it was tight end, though, and, you know, tight taking end. An L with Greg Olsen getting one catch is about the same as starting 90% of the tight ends in the leagues. That's
right.
Slightly different.
But to the injury point. Same,
you started Evan Ingram. He got you more points than
Vernon Davis. Very sad.
But no, you're right, Francis. It's funny that was right next in the rundown. That is the same kind of point.
Amari Cooper suffered a scary-looking concussion in yesterday's ball game against Denver. He was ducking his head down, got hit hard in the back of the head and neck area, left the game, did not return again in the league's concussion protocol, something we shall keep an eye on as we go into week 13.
Worth noting that Crabtree could get suspended extra time for his brawl as well. So if Cooper is out with his concussion or anything and Crabtree gets suspended, CPAT, Seth Roberts.
Cordero.
He had a beast run yesterday.
Yeah. Did.
Or Johnny Holton, who has he made it in the danger zone yet?
No, he has not.
I think he's submitting an application for danger zone U.
Potentially.
It's under review.
Potentially next week.
It's with the committee. It's on the committee's
desk. We'll take a look. Johnny Holton, certainly a deep, deep waiver wire stash. But for the rest of the waiver wire, NFL.com/waiver wire, the author of that piece, Alex Gelhar, here with us. Walk us through a few of the names that we should keep an eye on as the waiver wire approaches.
Well, there's a few running backs off the top that could be plug-and-play options this week. Rex Burkhead got back into the good graces of Bill Belichick. He had that fumble last week, which put everybody on tilt because then he didn't really play much after that.
Right.
And but he came back. They're using him all over the place. He was right behind Deion Lewis in touches, too, which was really encouraging.
Oh, what a great backfield.
And then Jaquizz Rodgers. Doug Martin left with a head injury. I know Peyton Barber had the 2 touchdowns, but he was only used on 9 offensive plays, and he scored twice.
Wow, 9 offensive plays, 2 touchdowns. It's pretty good.
So if Doug Martin's going to be out at all, Quiz is going to be like the de facto featured back. He had double-digit points in standard in 2 of the 3 weeks he was filling in for Martin earlier in the year. And then other than that, it's handcuff season, baby. Like, if you have space, because buys are gone, you mostly know who you're starting. Like, you don't need to have these random fill-in matchup-based plays. Like, as the playoffs approach, you want to get more high-value people. So find backfields like James Conner in Pittsburgh, Giovanni Bernard in Cincinnati, like guys that are going to fall into a potentially massive workload if one injury or something, you know, befalls somebody. Because those guys, having them for 1, 2, 3 weeks in this final run of the season, much more valuable than still having Terrence Williams rostered or somebody along those lines, or Jordy Nelson or whomever that's not doing much, or, you know, you barely play anyways.
All right, so let me ask you about this Ricky Seals-Jones character. I have to ask, because I think there's going to be a lot of fantasy managers out there. And he was added in bulk last week, and now he scored another touchdown. I'm sure a lot of folks might be, you know, enticed by the production, certainly. 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks. Is Ricky Seals-Jones, is this guy for reals or no?
I think he's a thing now. I didn't put him in the waiver wire column. I left him for Harmon in deep dive. But, you know, he's a converted wide receiver, so.
Texas A&M.
Yep. He's getting out there. He's catching some passes.
He played 8 snaps in week 11. He played 17 snaps in week 12.
So he's trending up.
25 snaps.
He's trending up.
11 heavy. Targets, 3 touchdowns.
That's an incredibly efficient rate for being on the field and getting targeted.
When he's out there, he's in the end zone more often than not.
It's worth noting, too, that, I mean, that this, out of the 17 plays, obviously 12 of them were pass plays. So when he's out there, he's going to be running routes. And, like, that's pretty important in an offense that is bereft of options right now.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm intrigued. I'll say that. I'm intrigued.
He's certainly worthy of consideration as far as streaming tight ends go.
Well, because I don't know. What else am I going to be intrigued about? Well,
Gabgoat seems to like him.
Gabgoat?
Goatbert?
Goatbert is let's say this.
Blaine Goatbert.
Gabbert's playing pretty well.
He is, actually. He's playing pretty good.
Yeah.
He's actually playing pretty good.
Broke the hearts of the Jacksonville faithful again.
Revenge game! The 2018 Pro Bowl vote is here. It's time to vote for your favorite NFL players to play in the 2018 Pro Bowl in beautiful Orlando. Vote now, NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. Are we able to get Bruce Ellington?
Yeah, get those Bruce
Ellington.
Isn't
he not even eligible?
That's what I'm asking you. Is he an eligible guy that we can vote for?
I don't know. I sent a litany of emails to many people in charge of this process, they all replied with, "Who the hell is Matt Harmon?
You've done no such thing."
Or Bruce Ellington.
Yeah, I know.
Bruce Ellington.
Yeah, who the hell is Matt Harmon, and who the hell is Bruce Ellington? Well,
should start a hashtag campaign.
When he's blowing up on Monday Night Football, maybe the people in this company will recognize him as a true entity.
What's a good hashtag for the hashtag Bruce Bowl? If he can't get to the Pro Bowl, he could
hashtag Pro Bowl Bruce.
I like Bruce Bowl.
Bruce Bowl just kind of has a nice ring to it. Doesn't make a lot of sense. But
it doesn't make any sense.
Start tweeting hashtag Bruce Bowl.
Bruce Bowl. All five of our listeners will tweet hashtag Bruce Bowl.
There okay. we go. We all appreciate right. you for it.
All Thank
right,
you.
NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. All right, let's get to your top performers here in week 12 at the quarterback position. Phillip Rivers, he has been cooking as of late. 434 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. Crazy thing is, I feel like it could have been 5. That's how good Phillip Rivers was playing in that game. Case Keenum, a top 5 quarterback, 282 through the air, 3 touchdowns. Josh McCown, 3 touchdowns and 307 passing. Russell Wilson continuing to be in that top 5 each and every week. 228 yards passing, 25 yards rushing, 3 total touchdowns for Russell Wilson. At the wide receiver position, it was, I want to say it was almost like a return to normalcy, because it was Julio Jones at number 1. It was Antonio Brown at number 2. But holy hell, Julio Jones, welcome back to this world, my friend.
Missed you, pal.
By the way, I don't want to hear anybody chirping about, like, Julio Jones as a disappointing player or whatever, or like whining about his usage anymore. He has 12, 8, 10, 15 targets over the last 4 games. Stop your complaining about his usage.
Interesting. All right. 12 receptions on 15 targets, 253 yards receiving. 2 touchdowns. That is unbelievable.
Could have used like 40 more yards. Maybe another touchdown.
Antonio Brown, 10 receptions, 169 through the air, and nice. 2 touchdowns. And can I just say, that grab along the side.
The end, the toe drag?
Yes.
For the field goal setup?
I thought there was no in real time, I thought there's no chance that's a catch. No chance.
He's the best in the league, man. It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Gotta know what we're watching here.
Robbie Anderson, 10 targets, 6 catches, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. What is this? The
5 straight?
5 straight?
With a touchdown?
5
six,
straight?
Six he's legit,
five,
man.
Yeah.
6 in the last 5?
He just got that speed. He just burns guys.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's smooth.
It was cool, too, on the second one. McCown, like, rolled out and was,
yep.
like, just delaying the play and, like, pointed.
And
was
pointed.
Like, go,
go, go, go.
And he
go.
Just burned the guy.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Keenan Allen. 11 catches on 14 targets, 172 through the air and a touchdown. Marvin Jones, 6 catches on 9 targets, 109 receiving, 2 touchdowns. His second touchdown, holy good God, what a highlight that was.
It was.
In double coverage, just beasting his way into the end zone.
Not even just double coverage. One guy was illegally on the field.
That's true. 12 men on the field.
That's the catch. That's
that play
catch.
Was amazing.
In context, that's the catch of the year. Like, because the guys, like Terrence Newman, not even supposed to be on the field. He was the 12th man illegally there and just goes. And, like, Terrence, what the hell are you doing? Like, you're on the field, and then it's like, no, I'm going to just drop into coverage here with Xavier Rhodes, double up Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones still scores a touchdown.
Unbelievable. All right, let's talk about Marvin Jones very quickly here. I don't think he gets the respect that he deserves.
Respect,
put the speck on his name. We talk about, you know, fantasy managers are slow to come around a little bit, right? So, you know, we talked about Kareem Hunt. You know, there was some worry there, and we were slow to come around on panicking on him. But, you know, we keep doubting Jones here. He just continues to produce, right? He's a top 10 wide receiver on the season, regardless of format. Double-digit scoring in 5 of his last 6 games.
Dude.
He's got multiple 20-point games in PPR as well during that time span. I mean, he's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a situation where, okay, we've discounted him for so long, but he's – and I think the thing was, too, last year we were like, oh, this is the Marvin Jones year, and then he had that big blow-up game and then disappointed. Are we slow to the uptake here? Do you believe in the resurgence? Do you think he'd keep it up, Matt Harmon?
Yeah, I was wrong when I said a couple of weeks ago that, we've seen this story before, and then got some nice confirmation bias.
right, the next
his
week.
Two targets, one catch for 20. I mean, well,
Nailed it.
Cleveland,
too.
Self five. Then he goes 4 for 85 and a touch against the Bears. And then 6 for 109 and 2 touchdowns against the Vikings.
Tough
primarily
up.
Covered
Tough
by
matchup.
Xavier Rhodes.
Right.
Yeah, just another, you know, just another reason, too, like not to be too super confident about, like, oh, I know cornerback matchups. I know.
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
Real smart about
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, sometimes the wide receivers can win these battles, too. But, yeah, I was wrong about Jones. I think you got to use him every week. And he's got a pretty decent schedule. Baltimore is a tough pass defense, but just beat a good pass defense. Then Tampa Bay and then Chicago. So.
And he's one of these guys who last – the next-gen stats separation at target metric,
yeah.
He was, like, bottom 10 in the league. This year he's bottom 10. Like, he doesn't get separation, but it doesn't matter because he can make these contested catches. And it's just, yeah. Like, it's a high – every catch he makes is a highlight reel catch.
He's so smooth.
He's always
– He doesn't have that suddenness to his game, right? So he's not a quick guy.
Right.
But he's got that long speed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think Detroit's using him in the right way in that they're saying, hey, listen, just get out there.
Yeah.
You know, just get out
just
there.
We're just going to put the ball in your area.
Yeah.
Just go get it.
And ask him to go get it.
Yeah.
And again, I was concerned, too, because Kenny Golladay, when he's been on the field with Marvin Jones, has seemed to limit Marvin Jones' upside. Not the case in this game. For Minnesota. So I still think there's a little bit of usage worry there, but, you know, high volatility player, no doubt Marvin Jones. But again, just continuing to 5 out of 6 games, man, double digits. And again, multiple 20-point performances here in PPR. Hard to turn away from that upside, man.
By the way, we talked about air yards last. Was that last week on the pod? Or
I think
was
so.
2 weeks ago with the Dolphins guys.
1,000 years ago. Was
yeah.
The 1960s. I don't remember. Yes. It's hard to say. But Marvin Jones was like a big regression sort of candidate coming back, like progression coming into this year. Like, he had all these air yards last year, didn't make do on them. Now he's making do on them this year. So that's why it's an important metric. And I didn't buy into that enough coming into this year. But Josh Hermsmeyer, who we talked about with airyards.com last week,
was a big
Marvin Jones proponent and should have listened to that advice.
All right, there you go. At the running back position, Alvin Kamara continues to just assault this league, man. 189 total. 2 touchdowns. Joe Mixon, where did this performance come out of? 166 total.
This was the week.
It was the week.
Replaying a preseason game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't live.
Tevin Coleman, 19 carries, 97 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rex Burkhead, 13 carries, 50 yards.
Rex on the flex. Run.
Rex in the
sexy. Goat.
Rexy, let's go. 2 total touchdowns for Rex Burkhead. Marshawn Lynch, 26 carries, 67 yards. He had 111 total yards and a touchdown as well. Jamal Williams had a very large performance as well. If I could hurry up and pull up these stats. Hurry. 21 carries, 66 yards on the ground. He had 2 total touchdowns. He also had 69 yards receiving.
He's the RB2 for the week right now behind Alvin Kamara.
Indeed he is, which is insane. Okay, so let's first talk about Jamal Williams. Do you believe in the performance? It was a great performance against an elite defense on the road. Pittsburgh,
yep.
Again, great a great defense up and down the roster. Alex Gelhar, your thoughts on the performance of Jamal Williams?
I mean, he's run really hard the last 2 weeks, and he's gotten all the volume, which is what matters. The Ravens were a better defense and limited him. He got one nice busted play, his long screen pass touchdown that really helped his value. But, I mean, you look at his touch totals the last few weeks when he's been filling in. He had 21, he had 22, and then he had 25. And
wow.
Like, that's kind of the thing Harmon was saying, like, agnostic of how well you think he's playing, getting a lot of volume, and now is in an offense that maybe can score points again. Remains to be seen.
I don't know.
We got the full Brett Hundley experience last night with look at those great throws, and then, oh, my God, he can't even see any pressure in the pocket. And then,
Or he sees it too much.
That's all he sees in the pocket.
Yeah.
I don't think we touched on this enough. What do we make of Brett Hundley's performance? And again, is Green Bay's offense, is it a functional offense that we can say, all right? Because I tell you what, after last week, no. You were saying, no, I don't want a piece of this off. Maybe I want Devontae Adams because of volume, but I want nobody else. I think that was the storyline mm-hmm. coming out of last week, coming into week 13 now after what we've seen on the field at Hines. I'll throw it out to you guys. What do you guys think?
I just think, like, who the hell knows what you're going to get? I think there's
a young quarterback.
Yeah, there's a big wide range of outcomes. And, yeah, you can definitely – You, at least you have some hope that there is some access to a ceiling because of this
game. And they have good matchups coming up now, so you can feel better about starting guys.
Tampa Bay, Cleveland, then Carolina, and it's not that great.
But Tampa Bay and Cleveland were the ones I was thinking of more so.
Yeah, but it's just like, you had the game against Detroit where things were, and then you had, you've had just a mixed bag. I mean, Chicago, they had a pretty decent game. They had, obviously, last night. So, I don't know. I think you're just like, yeah, there's some hope mid-game, but you can't – I mean, there's no, like – we can't sit here and say, now it's on track. You know?
Yeah, no.
Okay, there you go. All right, let me ask you guys about Marshawn Lynch, though. He's been pretty good as of late. Obviously had a great game against Denver, 111 total yards and a touchdown there. Is it simple game script because, again, they got up pretty big and just basically ran the ball? 26 carries, I think that's a season high for Marshawn Lynch as well. No Amari Cooper, no Michael Crabtree. It's almost as if, you know, the Oakland Raiders offense was forced into running the ball. Do you believe in the Marshawn resurgence? Was this a game script thing, or is he starting to heat up? What say you, franchise?
I think he's starting to heat up. I think like you said, they lost their two like star pass catchers in Cooper and Crabtree, and I think they just loaded them up with touches. Like you said, it was a game script thing. We've seen the week before in New England when they lost 33-8. Like he barely had any touches in the second half, and I think that's the running back he is. When they're winning in the second half, they're just going to keep giving him the rock, salt the clock, hope he can get those tough yards, and that's what you need from Lynch to get the volume for him to produce for you in fantasy. Is the Raiders need to be in the lead in the second half, or at least be competitive. If they're getting blown out, he's not going to get the touches. They're going to go to their more explosive pass catcher type backs. And next-gen stats, he faced 10 or I think 8 defenders in the box on like 70% of his carries.
Didn't matter.
So it didn't matter. Like, he wasn't very efficient. 26 carries for 67 yards. It's not really efficient.
No.
But he got enough volume to be able to produce a good number.
And Denver still is one of the more elite run defenses in the league.
For sure.
Certainly getting that volume and getting the yardage totals that he got is encouraging. I'll say this about – you bring up next-gen stats. I'll bring this about next-gen stats as well. I don't have the figures here for Week 12, but going into Week 11. So from Week 4 to Week 11, his yards gained after close. So this is after a defender gets to within 1 yard. Had been on the rise each and every single week. Obviously, he missed a game because of suspension. There was that game where he got 2 carries against Kansas City before he got kicked out as well. But again, if we're looking for those storylines, man, if we're looking for those narratives and ones that make sense, each and every week his yards gained after close until last week had been on the rise, and this is a player that had not played football for 18 months.
Right.
So I don't know what to make of the performance, honestly. And I'm a big Marshawn Lynch guy, right? But I could see how it could have been a game script thing because they did get up double digits against a pretty inept Broncos.
And we've seen it all year with the game script.
They play the Giants next week, so
could be something similar. All right, Todd.
I have a real quick storyline I want to note. How so far in the rundown and the main people we've talked about have all been Cal alums.
Oh, my God. Is that true?
Trends.
In this top performer section.
Marvin Jones. Wide receiver Marshawn. Marshawn
Lynch.
Oh,
God, you're right.
Oh, my God. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers today.
I quit.
I mean,
you want to talk about Justin Forsett? Maybe he'll come back.
Hey, there you go. Jeez. Where's C.J. Anderson?
In
we
disappointments,
talk about him?
Probably.
No, C.J. Anderson didn't play yesterday.
There you go.
He was invisible.
Let's talk about disappointment. Oh, wait.
Tight ends.
Gronk, 5 receptions, 82 yards, 2 touchdowns. Good to see him back on top.
He's good.
Of the board. Yep, he is. Kyle Rudolph, 4 receptions, 63 yards on Thursday, 2 touchdowns as well. Zach Ertz, 12 targets, 10 receptions, 103 yards, a touchdown. Not fair if you're going up against Zach Ertz in PPR, man.
Nah.
Not fair.
Nope.
26 points? Come on, bro. That's cool. Hunter Henry, 5 receptions, 76 yards and a touchdown. Let me ask you, I want to get the temperature in the room here regarding Hunter Henry. Is this a building?
Okay, nope.
There it is.
Here's the temperature. Thermometer is broken. I cannot read the temperature for you.
Nope.
Okay, let me at least throw this out.
Nope.
Mike Williams got hurt in that game. He's expected to miss some time with a knee injury. What we've seen with Mike Williams in the ball game is that they're running a lot of 11 personnel. When he was, before he came back, Mike Williams, with that back injury, they were running a lot more 12 personnel. Maybe they go back to a little bit of 12 personnel moving forward. I don't know.
Oh my God! Sorry.
Get off Tinder, bro.
Oh man, we got multiple Tinder.
Right, and not me one single time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll dap yourself at the end. So
it's just one thing I'm throwing out there with Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. Just something to look for. To look for.
Look, he was on the field for 76.5% of the snaps, which was the highest since week 7.
And they play the Browns next week.
Well, yeah, that'll be nice. But he only had 5 targets, so
there you go.
It's tough.
The offense goes as Keenan Allen goes, and everybody else are very nice complimentary pieces like Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin and Hunter Henry. But I think you've seen the last 2 games what Keenan Allen has done. That's how they want to play.
Cooking.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been great. Biggest disappointments, Dak again, 179, ugh, 2 interceptions, 0 rush attempts, which I was surprised by. Yeah. 0 rush attempts for Dak Prescott? How does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota versus Indianapolis.
Yeah.
He's not been good this year.
No, he's bad. No. Stop starting him.
184 passing, a touchdown, 2 picks.
6 picks in his last 2 games now?
That's crazy.
4 against Pittsburgh, 2 yesterday.
I think he's 9-14 for TDs to interceptions.
God.
This year.
What?
Wait, Marcus? What? 14 interceptions?
Or 12 maybe.
9-12.
9-12. I was trying to remember if it was 8-10 or 8-12 beforehand. But yeah, it was 8-10. So 9-12.
Terrible.
2.9 touchdown rate.
That's abysmal.
And he has good, like, if you look at his upcoming schedule the next couple weeks and into the playoffs, he has really favorable matchups.
Can't
I think he plays Houston, San Francisco,
can't
but you can't. You just can't play him.
I mean, against Indianapolis, the Colts? Just, wow.
It's very frustrating to watch the Titans offense.
Running back, Kareem Hunt versus Buffalo, 11 attempts, 17 yards. Mark Ingram in a high-scoring game where his backfield mate, Alvin Kamara, just went ballistic.
Yeah.
36 yards.
He did get a touchdown called back,
right.
True. Leonard Fournette versus Arizona, 12 attempts, 25 yards. Not good. 42 yards total. Jordan Howard versus Philadelphia, 7 attempts. 6 yards.
I mean, this was kind of predictable.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Eagles have the best run defense in the NFL.
They do, but not this bad, though.
Yeah, this was like, what was historically
bad. What was Chicago's total rushing yards? It was something horrendous, right? Wasn't it like...
I heard it was like...
Single digits?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was single digits, 7 or something.
When you combine the fact that the Eagles do far and away statistically have the best run defense in the league,
they do.
And they have one of the highest scoring offenses, going against the Bears, who can't score points, like... This game was going to get game scripted out of it immediately. And then when John Fox goes for like a 56-yard field goal instead of just going for 4th-and-2 from no man's land against one of the best teams in the league, it's over.
So Jordan Howard totaled 6 rush yards.
Yes.
Benny Cunningham had -1.
Okay. So
Tariq Cohen had -12.
So we're at -7.
Oh my God.
And Trubisky had 12.
Okay. So we're back at 5.
6.
Oh, we're at 6.
Six total.
Good.
Including Trubisky. Yeah. It was very, very sad.
That is John Fox's nightmare. Like when we had his fever dream the other, a couple weeks back when they didn't even, like, they threw 4 passes in 1 or whatever. This is his nightmare.
The Eagles did this to the Panthers a few weeks ago, too. Remember when they all had, like, -2 rushing yards?
Amazing.
I remember.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right, can we talk Leonard Fournette very quickly? He's obviously playing with an injured ankle, and he said he's likely to play with his injured ankle till the end of the year. It's just pain management for him. That's what Leonard Fournette said. But while it may be pain management for him, certainly it has taken a lot of juice out of his game. I don't think, looked the same. Want to get you guys' takeaways on Leonard Fournette and how do you manage L4 moving forward. I don't know what his schedule looks like, but
Colts, Seahawks, Texans.
Colts is great.
Niners.
Seahawks, I want no piece of. Niners
week 16.
Is great.
Yeah, I think you have to play him every week and just be ready to hate yourself.
He just hasn't been the same since week 6. Like,
yeah.
He missed.
And that's
what was it?
He injured the ankle.
He got benched for that one game.
Yeah.
He had an injury. They had a bye.
Yeah. It went injury, bye, bench.
Right.
And then he came back.
Got 33 rushing yards against Chargers. Had 111 against the Browns. And then 25 rush yards yesterday. So,
yikes.
Part of the problem, too, is this is the point in the season where teams have adjusted a lot.
Yeah.
And I think teams want Blake Bortles to try and beat them now if they can. And the Cardinals do have a pretty good run defense, actually. I think they're near the bottom 10 or 12 in yards allowed. And they have a good front 7 like that. But, this is a potential outcome with a back who has to run. And this was a bad game, too, because I think the Jags fell behind early, right? Like 13-0 or something. Mm-hmm. Always a disaster for Fournette when they get knocked off their script.
at wide receiver, disappointments. Doug Baldwin versus San Francisco, prime matchup. Only 3 targets for Doug Baldwin, 25 yards, -5 rushing yards. He had 20 total. That's, oh, man.
He was hashtag due for like a dud game.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's all, San Francisco.
I know, but
it's just how he does.
I'm like this close to becoming matchup agnostic too, and really, I just don't believe in anything anymore. other than volume and game script, I don't think I believe in anything anymore.
Wow. Okay.
But my point is like Doug Baldwin was like due for a dud game because he's always historically up and down because of volume.
Yeah.
And
3 targets, yeah, though. That's rough.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Golden Tate versus Minnesota. 8 targets, 4 receptions, 7 yards on 4 receptions.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He's had a few bad games.
Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, they combined for 30 yards total.
Against a disastrous secondary.
Disastrous.
They got Paxton lynched.
I mean, yeah.
They got lynched, yeah.
Like, the Broncos need to go back to Simeon.
So
Trev came in and looked good again.
Yeah, he did.
He's their best quarterback.
So, and they may be forced into doing that. We don't know what the severity of the ankle injury is quite yet.
I guess it's day-to-day this morning.
Yes.
Okay, so Paxton Lynch started. If you didn't know the storyline, Paxton Lynch started, did nothing, got injured, left that game, and then Trevor Siemian came in, and it was 14 points for Team Trevor, 0 points for Paxton Lynch, and there you go.
I think Lynch.
We're almost back.
I think Lynch averaged like 1 net yard per attempt or something. It was just a total, complete disastrous performance.
He's not good. Just give up. Right? Yeah. Like, just give up.
If Trevor Siemian comes back, I mean, he was playing very good in the early season. Then he got kind of banged up. Looked like he lost his confidence. Was seeing ghosts. They benched him. If he comes back, it's definitely going to help Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders down the stretch.
No doubt about it. All right. How worried are you guys about Golden Tate, though? Second week in a row, Tate has been pretty much a ghost. So I don't know. It's and again, you think, okay, this is going to be a guy that's going to be featured prominently in the Detroit Lions offense, but 2 weeks in a row now, Golden Tate has really not done very much.
I'm not terribly concerned. I mean, it was good to see him. 2 weeks ago, it was not many targets. This week, he still got his 8 targets. I mean, 7 yards is not what you want on 8 targets.
7 yards on 8 targets.
But he's still a big part of the offense, and I'm not overly concerned. I think this is just a bad blip on the radar.
All right, there you go. At tight end, Evan Engram versus Washington. 7 targets, 3 receptions, 18 yards in total for him.
That was the anti-tight end game.
Very cool.
Yes, because Vernon Davis had 0. Jared,
how many did he have again?
He had 0.
None.
He had none.
And Vernon.
Like you said, becoming matchup agnostic. Both of these teams were bad at covering tight ends.
Yeah.
Tight ends had ripped them up all year.
I legitimately told many people on Twitter that Vernon Davis was a must start.
He was.
Jordan Reed was out. Playing the Giants.
Davis leads the going into the game led the Redskins in receiving yards.
That's what
on
I'm
the
saying.
Season.
That's what
I mean,
I'm
it was check,
not,
check,
zero
check,
catch.
Check, check, check. Like, concern level,
91
0.
Snaps.
Everything doesn't about it made sense. And to just get kicked in the groin with the straight
0
blank.
And then you had to sit on it for 4 days.
Oh, yeah. It was ugly.
And just check your lineup Sunday morning and be like, oh, yeah, I got a goose egg Thursday.
You two were tilting so hard about it on Friday. It was hilarious.
It was awful, so dude.
Well, it is really obnoxious to just, like you say, have to sit on it for 4 days. Like,
amazing.
I can't, like, late
can
swap
I put
this?
Delaney Walker in? Or?
Can't swap this out?
Nope.
I got Delaney Walker sitting right there. Can I just change my mind? Walker hasn't played yet. Maybe he gets a 0-2. That seems fair.
Yeah, no.
No, he didn't.
Jared Cook versus Denver. 1 reception, 1 yard for Jared Cook.
Kind of crazy when you think that Crabtree and Cooper got
also
knocked out of the game.
I thought he caught a touchdown. Did it get called
overturned?
Yeah. Also, he had a great matchup, too.
Yep. He did have a great matchup.
He led the team with 5 targets too, by the way. So the volume was there.
So these disappointments though are why, yes, Ricky Seals-Jones may be a thing down the stretch on fantasy.
Jeez.
Are you guys done with Evan Engram? I mean, again, 7 targets for a tight end. It's hard to walk away from that volume, but man,
he dropped
a lot
of passes.
He's done nothing the last couple of weeks, man. It's been It's been tough to watch. And as you mentioned, Franch, he has had some really bad drops in that time span as well.
Hopefully Sterling Shepard can come back because I think that'll help. Oh. I feel like it might be a case where Evan Engram...
Please come back to us, Sterling
Shepard. As a rookie tight end, like getting all this volume, having this much pressure on him to move the offense might be getting in his head a little bit. Okay. So
I buy it. Let's get to MDG.
Most damn games.
Thursday night, Minnesota, Detroit. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Detroit.
Yeah, I think this game kind of went like about as expected. Don't have too many takes on it. I mean, Case Keenum lighten it up.
Yeah, he
is. Which is great.
2013 Harmon is so happy.
2013 Matt Harmon, like, listen, buddy. I told you, it's all going to be okay. You're going to see that version of Case Keenum once again.
Yeah, buddy.
It'll be in 2017. It's hard to explain, but it'll be in the year 2017. It will be with the Minnesota Vikings. You'll live in Los Angeles. It's a very, very strange story. But, yeah, this game went about as expected. I don't know that we have too many, like, large field takes from this game.
I like it. LCH taking on Dallas, the Chargers, Cowboys, French. What do you got?
Yeah, we talked about Keenan Allen beasting. Our pal Marcus G tweeted out this fun fact about Keenan Allen. He had the entire season, he had 66.1 fantasy points. In the last two games, he had 51.5.
Hello.
So that's crazy. Start Keenan Allen.
Hashtag crazy.
Also, for the Chargers, Melvin Gordon, we're all worried about Austin Eckler kind of coming in and taking his snaps and stealing that role away. Yep. Gordon still had 24 touches in this game. He's still the bell cow there. I don't think we need to worry about it.
Snap share is going down, but the touches are still – the volume's still
there.
It
could be a good thing for Gordon.
Yes, I agree. He doesn't need 32 touches a game. Eckler's a good change of pace guy.
He need to play 90% of the snaps either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get him out there on 60, give him good volume and good things will happen.
Volume,
and,
the only god we need to believe.
on the Dallas side, Rod Smith scored a short touchdown, but I mean, him and Morris each had 9 carries. Neither of them had even 50 rushing yards. Dak was bad. Dez was bad. It's just Dallas is just in a bad spot.
Early Sunday games, Miami taking on New England. It was the bloodbath that we all expected. Alex Gelhart, your takeaways.
Deion Lewis. Still an every week play. Rex Burkhead probably getting up there as well.
Yeah.
Miami, Damian Williams left with a dislocated shoulder. Mm. So he's going to miss some time. That puts Kenyon Drake more into focus as a reliable play because he's just going to see a bunch of volume. He got into the end zone there. But other than that, I mean, there wasn't too much that surprised us, except Devontae Parker now is becoming kind of a non-factor in this offense. I know you wrote about
especially with Matt Moore there.
With Matt Moore there, Harmon, you posted he hasn't, hit 80 yards since week one?
Yeah, week two.
Week two, yes.
Wow. Carolina taking on the Jets. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, the two big takeaways for me fantasy-wise from this game was these two breakout receivers on either side of the ball. Robbie Anderson, obviously, like we talked about him earlier, he's definitely somebody that – like, this was a tough matchup. This was the spot that, like, yeah, maybe this is where Robbie Anderson really slows down against –
Carolina's got a great
defense.
Yeah.
James Bradbury, they line up across from each other a lot. Didn't happen. Obviously scored 2 touchdowns. The one that it was on a broken play where Josh McCown really made something out of nothing and Anderson was kind of lined up near a safety. So that was, you know, maybe you could say that's a little bit fluky, but the fact you can't call Robbie Anderson a fluke. He's been great. Yep. On the other side of the ball, Devin Funchess, season high 12 targets, season high 108 yards, his first 100-yard game on the season. He has 86, 92, and 108 yards in the 3 games since Kelvin Benjamin was traded. He's their top X receiver and having a legit breakout season.
That's crazy.
That is pretty good.
I just love that it's happening for the Panthers, and you were like on mega tilt when they drafted him years ago.
Yeah, and
well,
first,
no, because I mean, he looked horrible at Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he looked horrible at Michigan. He looked horrible his first 2 years.
Isn't he still like 22 years old or something? He's super young. I think.
Yeah, he might still be 22, 23, something like that. But anyways, yeah, he's definitely taken that step forward, and he's a much. You know, he's just a much better presence.
He's a great locked-in play in fantasy right now. The couple leagues I have him in, I'm like, God bless you, Devin Funchess.
Yeah.
Never a thing you thought you'd say.
Right?
It's craziness. Tennessee at Indianapolis. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
Yeah, I mentioned the Mariota's struggles. A lot of people were on this Corey Davis breakout because he's healthy and playing now. I can't get you can't get behind it, though. It's just frustrating. Yeah, it's not a pass-first offense.
He has no chemistry.
Yeah.
This week,
none.
This
Delaney
week,
Walker's is, that's it.
This week with Matthews being out, though, Davis had seen a bunch of targets, and it was just kind of like, okay, well, he should get at least a handful more. There is a very many reasons to believe that this could be a breakout game
against
that secondary, too.
Of course.
Nope.
Disaster.
And then the Titans running backs. What are you doing, man? So Henry
just
and
give
Murray,
it to Derrick
just
Henry.
Give the ball, like hashtag free Derrick Henry, okay?
Yo,
Henry and Murray, they played the same exact amount of snaps.
So bad.
Murray Henry had 13 carries for 79 yards.
That's pretty good.
Murray had 12 carries for 9 yards.
Amazing.
There was one point in the second half where Henry had like 4 consecutive double-digit yardage touches.
Right.
Gets him down to the 1 yard line, and they give the ball to Murray for the touchdown at the 1 yard line.
You know, that drive, too, it looked like an old school Alabama drive. Like, literally.
Yeah.
Okay, just, we're just going to give it to Derrick Henry. Okay, 10 yards,
abusing,
10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards.
Wearing him down.
And then get down the goal line. And you're like, dude, really? You're not going to give it to Derrick Henry? Really?
I hate it.
It's. I feel kind of bad almost for DeMarco Murray because he's been injured all year and they've just never, like, sat him down.
Yeah, just sit him for, like, 2 games. Let him get healthy.
This is the way the Titans are, though. Like, they've been that way with Delanie Walker. Like, they'll let their guys play like through injuries or whatever, and sometimes you got it. Like,
but I think DeMarco too, he also wants to keep going because I think
because
he knows that, you know, it's about that time for him, you know what
I
mean? So
the end is near.
I'm saying as a team, like, you've got to kind of save the player from themselves.
I see what
situation.
You're saying.
Yeah. Be like, yeah, you need, like, you've been rocking an injury all season,
yeah,
like, let's sit you down for a couple weeks so that when you come back and you're
you
on the field, you can actually be good instead of just being there.
Yeah.
And then for Indianapolis, Jacoby Brissett was a popular streamer this week.
Oh, it hurts.
He
so
busted.
Bad.
Frank Gore had 17 carries and a touchdown, so that's nice. And T.Y. Worked. Hilton absolutely disappeared just like he did the last time against the Titans.
Ghosted. Tampa Bay in the dirty south, taking on Atlanta. Alex Gelhar, what do you got?
Well, Tampa Bay, real quick, we mentioned the backfield. Fitzmagic, no touchdowns because Peyton Barber vultured them both. Mike Evans gave you his massive volume, gave you the somewhat reliable floor.
Yeah.
Nothing else there, but you can't run away from 12 targets. For Atlanta, we talked about Julio Jones. Marvin Sanu has still been sneakily productive. He had 8 catches for 64 yards on 9 targets, and obviously the deep touchdown bomb to Julio Jones.
Yes!
Which is just hilarious. But Matt Ryan has, I think this whole offense has been kind of getting right the last several weeks.
It feels like it.
For Matt Ryan, over the last 5 games, he's thrown for just shy of 1,300 yards, 9 TDs, 2 picks. So he's been back to, like, the kind of guy that we can somewhat trust in fantasy. In the first 6 weeks of the season, he had multiple touchdowns just once. And then since then, he's had multiple touchdowns in 4 of 5. And the only one he didn't have multiple touchdowns in was this one, where Sanu threw a touchdown.
Very
fun. He's not been bad.
No, he's been rounding back into the Matt Ryan of old, where he's not like world-beating, week-winning Matt Ryan from his MVP campaign, but reliable, consistent starter. Like, oh, he's going to get me 17 points
this
or whatever.
You mentioned it. From week 7 in standard scoring league, so 4 points per touchdown, passing touchdown, 17. Nearly 16, 19, 15, 17, and nearly 17 again. So he's really been within that 17 to 19 range.
He's evened out. And in standard scoring formats, it's not terrible. The only other thing to note, I think, is that the Tampa Bay tight ends have turned into a fantasy conundrum.
Quagmire,
insert word here. Cameron Brate has been doing nothing. O.J. Howard's getting into the mix a little bit, but they're like cannibalizing each other, and it's very, very frustrating.
There you go. Where are we here? Cleveland taking on Cincinnati. Obviously, we were all right, and Alex Gelhar was wrong.
Gelatinous cube.
Albert.
I saved this party from disaster.
No. So you don't understand. It was the upside down, so it's actually reverse.
Right.
Oh. So you were wrong.
You're wrong.
And we were wrong.
Don't care. Got to flip a board game on TV.
Nice. Slow motion.
Do not care about the rest of the segment.
Matt Harmon, what do you got?
So Corey Coleman is someone that is going to have a big game at some point. You know, he had he led the team in targets. He had a outrageous 40.4 for – I can say words. 40.4% share of Deshaun – or the Cleveland intended air yards because
Kaiser left for
got hurt again. So he was definitely being used down the field, 18 air yards per target. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to hit some big play. He dropped one that would have been a long one. He did hit a 44-yarder in this game too. So he's someone that I think, you know, obviously the Josh Gordon factor looms in the background here, but gets the Chargers. That's a tough matchup, but then he gets the Packers in week 14. So Corey Coleman at some point is going to have a nice game. Speaking of having a nice game, we talked about Joe Mixon. It finally happened. Good for him. I still really don't care going forward.
There you go. Chicago at Philadelphia. Matt Franchise, what do you got?
Yep, Chicago was bad. Philadelphia was good. Carson Wentz threw 3 touchdown passes. LeGarrette Blount had 97 yards and 15 carries. He's right. The clear-cut primary back. Behind him, it's an unpredictable committee.
Yeah.
Jay Ajayi had a 35-yard run, and then he fumbled the ball on the 1-yard line. It fell into the end zone, and Nelson Agholor scooped it up for the touchdown.
I know.
So that was one of the most frustrating things to happen.
He's had a 30-yard run in every single Philadelphia Eagles game that he's been in, which is insane.
And he only had 5 carries. He had a really bad first half, so I think they didn't want to give him the ball. And then when they were in the lead in the second half, they gave him a couple more chances.
It's I think it's an important reminder, too, right, that, okay, so they make the trade, mm-hmm. Philadelphia does, to go get Ajayi, and everyone's super excited. Excited because you know the talent level's there.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, well, no doubt. But I think there was a lot of optimism there, and certainly it made a lot of sense. But that being said, it was hard to discount, or we discounted too much, the effectiveness of LeGarrette Blount in this offense, because he had been running very, very well.
Correct.
In this offense. And what a crazy journey it's been for LeGarrette Blount, for God's sakes. I mean, in the preseason, they were talking about there were rumors, I'm using air quotes here, that he was going to get cut. And Doug Peterson's like, nah, dude, he's not getting cut. He's going to be the featured back. Everyone relax.
He didn't look like he fit for the first 2 or 3 weeks.
It's true.
He struggled, but then he
going to get the coaching staff
offense
credit.
Came alive.
They have a total committee, but it's super successful. A lot more than other committees where there's 3 or 4 backs getting used.
100%. For sure.
Later Sunday games, New Orleans taking on the Rams. Great game. Alex Gilhart, what you think?
This went largely as expected. With Robert Woods being out, both Sammy Watkins and Cooper Kupp had bumps in targets and had good games. Sammy Watkins got the touchdown. Kupp had all the targets, catches, and yards, went for over 100. And on the Saints side, Michael Thomas kind of disappointed, but it was still more of the same. He had, 5 catches, 60-some yards, I think.
5 for 52.
Kamara was a big story. Ingram disappointed a little bit. I wouldn't sweat it too much. The Rams have a pretty good defense. Like we said, he had a touchdown taken off the board. But then other than that, this was what we expected. It's nice to have these teams in fantasy where it's a little more clear cut and we know what to expect going forward.
Big win for my Rams. Denver taking on Oakland. We talked about Paxton Lynch, talked about Trevor Siemian and those wide receivers. Matt Harmon, what else you got in this ballgame?
Not too much else to really take away here from what we covered. Devontae Booker is definitely, I think, probably the most usable person from the Denver backfield. But
is that right?
But barely.
But that's not saying much.
Yeah.
So other than that, it will be interesting if the Oakland receivers, being Crabtree and or Cooper, do not play next week.
Yeah, then what?
Then I think you have a situation in a pretty solid spot, too. Are you thinking about Cordarrelle Patterson? What would be ideal would be Crabtree misses if he gets suspended and then Cooper plays. That would be probably it would be nice to see what Amari Cooper looks like as the clear featured receiver there. Well, I don't know how effective it would be, but it would be something interesting to see.
Sunday Night Football, Green Bay at Pittsburgh. We've talked about this game extensively, but Matt Franchise, what else did you see in this game?
I want to talk about the bold predictions article from Friday.
Oh, okay. What
because
did we get?
Gelhars was.
Nailed it.
Big Ben throws 4 touchdown passes for the second week in a row.
What?
Swish.
Came true.
What? 4 touchdown passes in a row. Yes.
Yeah. And the other big storyline is Martavis Bryant caught a touchdown pass.
Yay.
He lives.
He lives, but with Juju out. So, you know, there was the storyline Sunday morning. Martavis Bryant will be more involved. He actually was for once. So that was kind of cool to see. I think the drama is behind them. And he has more trust now with Big Ben, and he's being more integrated. So that's a big takeaway. The good players are good. Jamal Williams is RB2. We talked about Brett Hundley. Let's move on.
All that. All right. Daily Dapson, let's get out of here.
Daps.
Daps.
Daps. Daps.
Alex Gilhar, hit me.
I'm going to just daily dap the Wisconsin Badgers football team. They've been fun to watch. They're undefeated. They're vying for a spot in the college football playoff. I believe prognosticators are saying if the Badgers can win this Sunday, the Big Ten Championship against Ohio State, they will make it, which would be very cool. They're a team nobody cared about. They're an old-school classic, Badgers football, play great defense, run the ball really
run
effectively.
Run that ball,
They've
run
got
that ball.
A lefty quarterback, which is just something you don't see that often, and it's kind of fun and awkward to see a southpaw slinging the ball. So.
Yeah.
They're fun. I didn't go to Wisconsin, but, always kind of, rooted for the Badgers anyways, and it's been a fun season. It'd be cool to see a program like that in the college football playoff and maybe surprise some people.
I agree. I like it, too. I will daily dap
the Badgers.
Oh, the Badgers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Look at the Badgers.
Oh, yeah. Get some cheese.
I will daily dap this movie on Netflix. It's called Assassin. There's so many different Assassin movies, but it's a It's true. There's so many of them. It's crazy.
13 assassins.
Yeah,
bunch
exactly.
of them.
There's this one is called Assassin Solo, not plural, but it's a Chinese art house film. It features an actress, a very attractive woman. Her name is Qi Shu, so spelled Q-I-S-H-U. I highly recommend everyone watch it. It's a different type of movie. It's just gorgeous, picturesque. The cinematography in this movie is just amazing. It's a slower type film, so if you've got ADD, it's not for you. But no, it's a very good. I'm just warning the millennials out there. I'm just saying. I don't
okay.
know. What? I can't see you watching this.
All right. Yeah, you're probably right.
It's a slow moving film. I think Alex Gelhart, I think you would love.
I'll have to check it out. It sounds good.
It played very well at Cannes, and it's a good movie. So there you go. Assassin. On Netflix, starring Qi Shu. Matt Franchise, if you were done with your selfie, give us a daily.
All right, guys, I started Stranger Things. I watched the first two episodes of season one, so I'm in.
Oh, you're season
I'm
one?
I'm up to date on
welcome,
pop culture
yeah,
now.
Welcome to 2 years.
Hey, oh,
I'm up to date. Look,
better,
I wanted to finish.
Better late than never.
Okay, continuing a storyline from a few daps ago when I said there was only three seasons of the Great British Baking Show on Netflix.
That's right.
They put out a fourth.
What?
We finished the third season, and we were all sad because we were like, oh, we don't have any more. And then it went on to the fourth season, and we celebrated, but we were like, let's watch Stranger Things.
I don't want to break your heart, but I'm going to break your heart.
What?
You know that they blew up the cast for the new season.
Of what?
Of GBBO.
Of the judges?
Yeah.
It's not Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood anymore.
It's only Paul Hollywood.
What?
Yeah.
It's not Mary.
Is Mary's health okay?
No, they moved.
She's
to a
little old.
I know. They moved to a different station and they canned Mary Berry. And
dang.
And those two hosts.
Yeah.
They got rid
the
of
the ones that are like Beak.
Yes. They got rid of.
What? Why?
I know.
This is so hilarious.
Boycott the Great British Baking Show,
dude. I know.
Wow, we just went from dapping.
I hate it.
Boycotting it.
I hate it. No. I'll probably watch it. It's still fine.
Is Mary Berry one person or a Mary?
Yes, that's her name, Mary Berry. She's a very elderly,
Mary Berry
veteran.
Well, it just is how she
baker.
Talks too.
The way you sounded, it sounded like a list. And Paul Hollywood's just got the nickname, like, oh, we go to our panel, Mary Berry and Paul Hollywood.
That's what it is. They're the judges.
But no, I was thinking three people. That's why I was, because then I was sitting over here Mary like, Berry oh, Mary one Berry person. One person.
No, Mary Berry is one person. Paul Hollywood is a different person.
That's very sad. Thank you for telling
me. Such a hilarious interaction to see, because he was like, yeah, we're pausing. And you're like, I don't want to ruin it for you, but French is like, no, not Mary, not Mary Berry.
Not Mary Berry. So I asked our British contingent about that, and they said it was the top headline when that went down.
I can imagine, dude. That show's popular.
Oh, it was huge.
Yeah,
it's huge. Anyways, I'm sorry.
One more Daily Daps.
Just,
I want to
take that over.
One more Daily Daps. My favorite band, the Dave Matthews Band, put out
DMB
18 live releases on Spotify. So they've only had like a certain number of live releases on Spotify for years and years.
Okay.
Put out 18 new shows. So I'm I'm going deep into the catalog now, and I'm freaking out. It happened like November 20th, so it's been a week, and wasn't highly publicized. So I just discovered
it
week. Yeah,
I love it. Matt Harmon, what do you got?
I'm gonna Daily Dap a taco place on Venice Boulevard here.
Okay.
Cervateca.
Cervateca.
I love Cervateca.
Very good. I rode my bike there Saturday night, got some tacos, got some beer at like a little booze place next door.
Very hipster of you.
I know, dude. I'm living literally my best life. This is what I was born to be.
I love it.
And it was really, really good. Had three tacos from there, we'll be going again.
Had you never gone to Cervateca with me before?
No.
Oh, I love Cervateca.
Interesting. Yeah.
Another failed experiment from our previous arrangement of living together.
Wow.
Wow.
That sounded so sad.
Rude.
For no reason. Producer Chris.
Just kidding, buddy.
You're in a dark place.
Yeah, guys. Kind of a melancholy Daily Daps, because 10 years ago we lost the late, great Sean Taylor, very tragically. And I worked for the Skins from 04 to 06. He was the best player I've ever seen.
He was
hands
incredible.
Down. He was unbelievable, and he was a good guy. And I think you see his influence around the league. Guys like Landon Collins wearing 21, Swearinger wearing 36, Sua Cravens was wearing 36. So melancholy Daily Depths, Sean Taylor.
All right, there you go.
I think his Football Life just recently aired again, or it will be. But if you've never checked it out,
that was incredible.
If you've never seen the Sean Taylor Football Life, almost all of those are just knockout productions. NFL Films does such a good job, but the Sean Taylor one is really good.
I remember when that happened, because I lived in the D.C. area at the time. And I remember finding out that, and at the same time, simultaneously finding – I remember getting a text from my dad, like, hey, Sean Taylor's dead. Oh, and by the way, your sister is in labor. Because it's my nephew's birthday today, too. So
I see.
One coming in, one going out.
It's a cycle of life.
I remember finding out about that. I was like, whoa.
That's a lot to drop on your plate.
Yeah, it was a big text.
That's a big text right there, man. All right, so there you go. That's the show for producer Chris, Matt Franchise, the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar, and Matt Harmon. I am James Coe. We're out.
See you later.